This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner with Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, and Washington Hay.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together to close the goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 1 week removed from the conclusion of horse racing's Triple Crown, and a thrilling Triple Crown it was, although no Triple Crown winner in the sport this year, but heck, you can't have it every year. So we'll take what we get, and a great renewal of the Belmont Stakes last Saturday. Of course, I'm Mike Penna. He's Jude Feld, Ponta for the Pick Four. We are in our Lexington studios, at least for now. Later this afternoon, we'll make our way westward to Churchill Downs in Louisville, where we'll bring you exclusive coverage of the Grade 1 Stephen Foster Handicap, which begins at 6 o'clock Eastern time tonight, right here on Sirius XM Channel 93 and on our affiliates around the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. JT, in case you're wondering, because we now turn our attention to the Breeders' Cup World Championships and the road to the Breeders' Cup, we are just 140 days away from that event at Santa Anita in November.
Wow, that's very close.
Yeah, no, by the way, if you go to breederscup.com, it only says 140 days. This is killing the Baron's mojo with these countdowns. No seconds, no minutes.
Yeah, well, it's 140 days.
Enough said.
Yeah. We don't need to know the seconds, the minutes, the hours.
How good was that Belmont for a race that some people called lackluster because you didn't have a chance for a Triple Crown? I thought it was a contentious race, and it turned out that way.
Yeah, it was a nice race as races go. Very low key as far as crowd participation, and it was one of those Belmonts where it didn't seem like there was a tremendous amount of interest in it after. The Triple Crown went by the wayside. We've been kind of spoiled lately with all the Triple Crowns that have been on the line for the Belmont. So this one, you know, was kind of a ghost town compared to what's been happening lately in racing. So, it was a fine race, and certainly the first two finishers ran incredibly well.
Yeah, and they still did better on the attendance than I expected. I called for about 40,000. You didn't even think they'd get to 40, but I just looked at the entire card. And I said, look, you put together a Breeders' Cup caliber type of program, you're going to get people there. The announced attendance that we came out with on our coverage last Saturday was 58,000. It was somewhere in that ballpark. And it did seem like there were people there. There were fans in attendance enjoying the entire card. So I'd say that's probably relatively accurate.
It was a late arriving crowd. Early races, not too many people, but I think the Daughtry concert kind of kicked it up towards late in the afternoon. People came out to see them, maybe, you know, catch the big race and whatever. It really didn't seem like there was a sense of urgency to go to the track. I mean, even we left the hotel rather late. We got there, you know, prior to the first race, but there was no traffic, no. Which is very rare. We sailed right in, and, you know, that hasn't happened in a long, long time. Usually there's a parade of cars, and you're just crawling through the barn area to get in. And we went on city streets, zipped right into the track. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and it concludes our second consecutive year of producing the Triple Crown in partnership with NBC Sports Westwood One. I want to go ahead and send a shout out to them and say thank you for all their help and their support. Of course, we've signed a three-year deal, so we are the official radio network of the Triple Crown all the way through 2018. So can't wait to get back at it again next year.
Can't wait till 2019 when we open the bait shop in Cabo San Lucas.
That's right. The retirement plan.
That's right.
That's right. Well, wait, where did Cabo San Lucas come from? I thought it was Barbados.
Well, Barbados would be fine, too. It's just a different kind of bait down in Barbados. But, yeah, either way, I'll take either one. Someplace nice and sunny and warm.
A special shout out to the folks with Barbados Tourism as well. They were the title sponsor of our Belmont undercard coverage last week in association with Breeders' Cup. So our thanks to all of them for their support and looking forward to what's going to happen here this evening as we do now shift our attention to the road to the Breeders' Cup. We are the exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and you're going to hear so many of the Breeders' Cup Challenge races on the network over the course of the next several months. And it kicks off tonight with a Grade 1 Stephen Foster and the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, both of those being win-in-your-in races.
Yeah, and they're almost free spaces, both of them. So it's interesting that a win-in-your-in race like the Fleur de Lis drew such a short field. I would have thought there'd been more people ducking the Belmont races and running at Churchill, but not the case.
Well, the money. I think that's what it is. The purses are so much better at Belmont than what we're going to see tonight at Churchill.
Well, that's true, but also the competition is way tougher.
True.
You know,
yeah.
You're supposed to keep yourself in the best company you can find and your horses in the worst company you can find.
You're talking about the two races, the Fleur de Lis and the Stephen Foster being free squares tonight, as you put it, or free spaces. I guess you're talking about FNX, who's the even money morning line favorite in the Stephen Foster, and Untappable, who no doubt is going to be a heavy favorite in the Fleur de Lis.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They don't need to hit you over the head with a sledgehammer.
I don't think FNX is a cinch. I really don't.
I think he's
very beatable.
You do?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, everybody, that's a difference of opinion makes horse races. Mark Twain
friends
said.
Friends don't let friends bet chalk, in the words of the
Well, I don't say you need to bet on them. I just, you know, it's not a real strong Stephen Foster.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think we've seen better Stephen Foster handicaps than what we're going to see later tonight. But with that being said, I think it can turn out to be a very competitive race, much like we saw last week in the Belmont, where Exaggerator looked like, you know, he was going to lay over the field, at least on paper. Didn't turn out that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, races don't always run the way they look on paper. We know this, you know, having been in the game for many moons. But I was just puzzled why people wouldn't be willing to maybe take a little cut and pay to get the win and you're in. You know, because it's so, the win and you're in is so important. That's money, too.
Right.
I mean, you got to factor in the money that you get for winning you're in into the purse, you know?
Yeah.
Plus
you get your entry fee paid, which
right.
is, what, $100,000
right.
into the Classic.
Right.
Which now has an increased purse. They announced that this week, where it's going to go from $5 million to $6 million. So the winner's share, if you could ever pull it off, is even greater.
Yeah. So, and what does that do for you, too, as far as, like, you know, the purse money, like the winning you're in purse money, you know, I mean, when you're trying to figure it all out, when you're sitting down and making your plan, do you say, well, now if we're winning, we're going for $6 million. So that kind of negates the purse of the other race. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So
I do. Plus you get the travel stipend as well, where they're going to pay, what, $10,000 travel allowance to get you out to Santa Anita.
Right.
So that helps, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, all of those little things add up, you know, and then the fact that you're in a race, like for the Stephen Foster, you're in a race that's going to have a $6 million purse. So it's like it's like being in a 14-person lottery, right?
Yeah.
You're winning a ticket in a lottery that's only going to have 14 players.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I think people need to pay a little bit more attention to that.
in terms of the older horse division, and we have to get to a break here in just a couple of minutes, and then we'll tell you what's coming up here on the program. Very busy show, loaded with some big-name special guests. I think you're going to really enjoy the next 2 hours. Looking at the older horse division, California Chrome, the leader by far, right? He's 100 miles the leader right now. Frosted made a case last week in the Met Mile, but he was beating a field that he figured to beat quite easily. He did. He beat him like a drum. That was super impressive. So when you look at that division, you look at California Chrome, maybe a horse like Frosted. Who else are we looking at as being the major players in the older horse division?
Well, you, FNX.
Is he another? I mean, second in the Classic last year behind American Pharoah.
Yeah.
Okay. But is he on par with California Chrome?
No.
No. Is anybody?
No.
No.
I mean, I don't think Frosted is.
No.
You know, everybody's made a big deal out of Frosted's victory, and it was nice.
It was impressive.
It was
yeah.
fun to watch.
Yeah.
He had nothing behind him.
Right.
It was a pitiful field.
Yeah. Not the strongest Met Mile we've ever seen.
He was running against the clock, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was an absolute cinch going into the race, and, you know, I don't want to gloat about a short price winner, but, I mean, there was nothing in that race. That race was terrible for a grade one, for the Met Mile. You look back at all the great horses that have won that race, right? And then you look at that field. And there was really only one horse mm-hmm. in the race that was legit, and yep. that was Frosted. So I wasn't surprised that, you know, he basically, you know, kicked ass and took names. I mean, it was that kind of a race.
All right. Very busy program. We'll debate that as we move throughout the show. Maybe get a chance to ask that question of some of our guests here today. We'll see. But we're going to kick it off with 2016 Hall of Fame inductee. That's trainer Steve Asmussen, who will join us after this first break. He'll look back on that big win by Creator in the Belmont last weekend. He'll look ahead to Untappable and tonight's program at Churchill Downs. We'll talk to trainer Neil Howard at 8:35 Eastern Time. He, of course, sends out Eagle and Ah Chocolate on tonight's program. Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington is going to be with us to tell us about the best steakhouse in all of Central Kentucky. I can promise you that. He will talk to us about his restaurant at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Jerry Hollendorfer, the Hall of Famer who sends out Songbird in a return effort later today at Santa Anita, will be here at 9:25 Eastern Time. And then we'll spend some time looking back on what we saw this week at Royal Ascot, including a monster effort by Teppan. You're going to hear a couple of sound bites from Mark Cassie and from Julian Leperu at the end of the show. Busy program. We'll kick it off with Steve Asmussen next on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dyna Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
a multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sale slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection, so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch. And Destin has taken the lead of the Belmont Stakes. Stradivari is there. Governor Malibu couldn't get through on the inside. He is in traffic. Exaggerator. Here comes Lonnie on the far outside. And Creator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Creator. Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Creator. These two come down to the line together. Too close to goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire. Rod Ortiz raised his whip in victory, but it is very close in the Belmont Stakes.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Belmont last Saturday. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. A thrilling finish that went to the long nose of Creator, defeating a very game Destin. He got his nose down on the line for owners Windstar Farm, jockey Irod Ortiz Jr., and 2016 Hall of Fame inductee, that's trainer Steve Asmussen, who joins us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
How did that sound? That was pretty nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, very, very exciting race. You know, very proud of the whole team and especially Creator's effort, and you know, to be fortunate enough to win the Belmont Stakes. What a special feeling.
Put me in the stands with you. Tell me about watching that stretch run. What was it like?
It was exciting as it gets. Everything you know dream of while you're in horse racing. But I thought that the race unfolded perfectly for him. Irad gave him a great trip, and I was extremely proud. Of what, obviously at this point I've probably watched the replay 50 times. And just thought that Creator dove at the wire, man. He tried to win, and it's a very exciting man and exciting right now.
There were some great pictures of you on social media. I mean, just outstanding. And when I interviewed you after the race, you were standing in the winner's circle with your mom and dad, and we had done a piece on you prior to the race talking about how the Hall of Fame induction and your family and how it all related, how important it was to you. And that was just a special moment. I mean, I've never seen anybody in the winner's circle happier than you that day.
Like you said, family is so special to us, and to be able to share a moment like that, stay at the forefront of my mind.
Steve, you and I talked before the Kentucky Derby, And going into this year's Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont were two of the classic races you had yet to win. Well, you can now check off the Belmont Stakes, but you told me that the Derby was so difficult to win because of all the different X factors that go into it. How about the Belmont? You had been close before. Why is that race so challenging?
Well, 9 years, you know, we sat on Curlin's nose to feet, and it just, you know, they come home in under 48 that day, no pace whatsoever in the race, and he didn't, you know, it didn't happen for him. Knowing what a great horse he is, it just, that was a lived through an example of how difficult it is to win it, and the fact that you only get one shot at it. And I think that all of those things coming together made this year's Belmont a very special win for us.
It was kind of the reverse of Curlin and Rags to Riches. As I was watching Todd walk down from his box, he looked like he was going to a funeral. And then, you know, your effusiveness on the racetrack and after the race, it was a tremendous contrast from, you know, the previous Belmont Stakes. That was such a thorn in your side.
Well, absolutely. You know, and that you're, I think the horses gave great effort. You know, you're very proud of them, but what a difference the feeling is between simply inches, the difference of winning or not. And I think that it is hard to be that close to such a special victory. And living through that, it is very nice to be on the winning side of it this time.
Steve, a couple of months ago, you get the news that you'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame in Saratoga Springs later this year. Then you end up winning your very first Belmont Stakes. This has just been an amazing year for Steve Asmussen. Try to put it into words. What has this year been like?
Well, it's been a bit publicized and stuff of, you know, Julie, my wife's battle with cancer and stuff. And that has put everything else into perspective. I do think that, you know, Belmont win and the Hall of Fame and her, you know, PET scan being negative is, you know, it's extremely emotional. No way not to be. And I think that being able to share a win like the Belmont with family, and also being, you know, honored by being put in the Hall of Fame, and having the scare that we did with Julie, it just puts it all into perspective of how fleeting and how fortunate and how blessed we really are to, you know, to be able to enjoy this together. And then just to have the success is something so significant to celebrate is, you know, like to put those in words, it's hard, but it's an overwhelming feeling. It really is. You know, it just probably is a boisterous or as jubilant as I've ever been in the Belmont. And, you know, I think all of those things add up to those feelings.
You know, your dad, he's still killing the ladies at his advanced age. So there were a couple gals in the walking ring. They said, "Do you see that little cowboy over there? Oh my God, is he cute?"
And well, that's good to hear, because I've always wondered how he got mom.
he's got lots of fans. He's got lots of fans.
I'm glad to hear that, because I could never quite understand how he ever got mom. So now that the secret's out,
it's all clear.
That's what it was. It was the hat.
Yeah. It's all clear to you now. But, you know, when I'll go back to that interview, because it was a great moment for me too. I was so happy for you, and it was great that your parents were there. And your dad, he had the same smile that you had on. I mean, you couldn't have chiseled that smile off of his face. Did he say anything to you after the race?
Well, not that Dad doesn't, you know, he doesn't say a lot, but you definitely know what he's thinking. You know, just, I can't tell you how blessed I feel to have grown up in the situation that I have. You know,
I've always been a part of my mom and dad's stable, and now I feel that they're a huge part of mine. I just, through conversations with mom and dad, you know, this stable is simply an extension of them. We're just carrying the colors and, just very proud of the things that we've accomplished, and we know that we've accomplished them together. And I think that, the health issues this year just have made us reflect and realize, how blessed we are to be in this position. And, we're feeling the same thing. And it was the win Saturday was a very special moment. Really was, and still is today.
Steve, when you were watching the race live, did you know that it was Creator's nose that got to the line first?
I felt it. The day was right. Trying to take you back to the pre-race, and man, the horse showed great focus. He was dialed in. He was focused. And standing there pre-break, I was, concerned with Gettysburg getting away cleanly, and he broke well. Paco got him over in a beautiful position, and then looked where Creator was, and you saw the move that Irad made by, dropping in, going into the first turn. He could have gotten hung up outside of the eight horse, and he just, that split decision where he did, and then the first half mile they go 48-4, and you like your position. You feel at that moment you've got a shot, that it is unfolding. When you imagine a race or pre-race or anything, you're imagining it in a positive way. And at that point, it had unfolded the way we had imagined it. It read like a story. And around the turn, you could tell he had plenty of horse. You're just wanting a spot to run, and a scene presented itself, and I thought the Creator laid his body down, and, when they got to the one, you thought that he won it, but you wanted to see the number up. I thought he got up, but boy, quite a relief to see him put the number up and take the photo down and put your number up on top.
Visiting with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, when we did trainer talk together last summer at Saratoga, you told me that your mom has a room dedicated to memorabilia of you and your career and your brother Cash and his career, and she calls it the ego room. So there's no doubt that there will be a little more memorabilia going into that room after the Belmont last weekend. Let's look ahead to tonight and the Fleur de Lis handicap with Untappable. I'm sure she has her place in that ego room too, and maybe you can add a little more to it tonight. How's she doing?
Well, I think that the filly's doing wonderful. The way that she is trained here at Churchill, I can't believe she's gotten beat, let alone as many times as I've gotten her beat. But she is training beautifully. Her works are as good as it gets, and she's 3-for-3 at Churchill, and plan on her winning, but it has been a pretty long dry spell for her.
Well, she's such a nice filly. She's had a couple of setbacks and some bad luck along the way, but it seems like now she's at her favorite track, and the works on paper look fantastic, and now we hear from you how good they are. So there's not a lot to topple in that race. Not as tough as some of the races she's been in the past. So best of luck with her. She looks pretty tough.
Well, thank you. Nothing but respect for, I think Neil Howard has All Chocolate running extremely well right now. I'm a sheets guy, and, we're coming off a couple eights. She's coming off a couple sevens. But I do feel that Untappable's ready to get back in the winner's circle.
Steve, much like Creator in the Belmont last weekend, she is a daughter of super sire Tappet. What is it with these Tappets? They've been pretty good to you, my friend.
We always tell Mr. Ron Winchell that Tappet's the gift that keeps on giving. He's just everything that he has done for me. And, now we have Tapazar out there and a couple of the two-year-olds of his that have won, including an impressive winner for the Winchells this weekend. So Tappet is just an amazing horse that
sire's amazing horses that are possibly the sire of sires of amazing horses. And it, like I said before, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, pretty nice to be able to train for the guy that owns Tappet, huh?
Yeah, nice is not quite an accurate description of it. Just tops that person.
Well, Steve, look, you've always been very accommodating with your time. Really do appreciate the time here this morning. All the best tonight with Untappable, and all the best moving forward. And we're going to look forward to catching up with you as we get closer to that Hall of Fame ceremony in Saratoga in August.
Well, as always, thank you much.
All right, Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And then we're back to visit with trainer Neil Howard. He's coming up talking about Eagle and Ah Chocolate right after this.
This is the story of a man who, by accomplishment, was the picture of a veritable giant on the palette of the world of thoroughbred racing. From modest beginnings in Pennsylvania to his death at the age of 86, he had experienced unparalleled success in both racing and breeding. The green and white silks of his stable were accountable for four Kentucky Derby winners. He was born December 12, 1859, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where in his early years he worked in steel mills and other industrial establishments. Recognizing very quickly that his future lay in other forms of human endeavor, so to speak, he heeded Horace Greeley's advice to head west to become a part of our nation's then burgeoning westward expansion. He became both a prospector and a gold miner, and in a relatively short period of time managed to accrue enough equity to head for the windy city on the banks of Lake Michigan, Chicago, where he began to invest in real estate. In 1898, at the age of 39, he acquired a small stable of horses as part of following a physician's advice to get out into the open air more extensively. The first horse he purchased was named Fair John, and that horse registered the first win for the soon-to-be-renowned stable at Harlem, Illinois, July 27, 1898. The best of his early stable of thoroughbreds was named Bad News, because it traveled so fast, of course, who was by Flying Dutchman out of Black Sleeves. The horse had been purchased as a three-year-old from Woodford and Buckner. In 1906, he bought a 335-acre tract of land in the bluegrass of Kentucky and expanded his interests into breeding. That farm eventually embraced some 1,500 acres and housed such prominent stallions as Helmet, Black Tony, North Star III, Black Servant, Bubbling Over, Burgoo King, Balladeer, Bimlick, and Blue Larkspur. The name of the farm was Idle Hour Farm and spawned four homebred Kentucky Derby winners, Behave Yourself in 1921, Bubbling Over in 1926, Burgoo King in 1932, and Broker's Tip in 1933. The latter broke his maiden in that Derby win in that infamous stretch duel with Head Play. Other notables from a virtually endless list that came from the Idle Hour Farm just outside Lexington included Baba Kenny, Big Pebble, B-Mac, and Busher. This gentleman accumulated enormous wealth from a variety of vocational interests, including Chicago real estate holdings, extensive newspaper interests, and the Beach Club Casino in Palm Beach, Florida. He was a man widely known for his charity and philanthropy, with extensive involvement in projects such as orphanages and other worthy enterprises. Among his turf-related accomplishments were the development of the Fairgrounds Racetrack in New Orleans as a winter site for thoroughbred racing, and through his breeding stock was greatly responsible for the success of such subsequent luminaries of the world of racing as John W. Galbraith, Edward Morris, and movie mogul Louis B. Mayer. He died at the age of 86 on August 15, 1946, although the permanent influence of this octogenarian on the history and development of the American turf will always be indelibly emblazoned on its most glowing of pages. That man who made the green and white silks of the Idle Hour Farm, the stuff of which legends are made, was a true titan of the thoroughbred world, and his story is indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing. He was Colonel E. R. Bradley.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainsway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch, and Noble Bird just waiting for a challenge. Eagle will try to offer one, swinging off the rail. Breaking Lucky is third. Eagle taking aim at Noble Bird, coming by the eighth pole. Noble Bird still has the lead. Eagle driving to get him on the outside. Final furlong of the Ben Ally. These two going at it past the 16th pole, and Eagle just will not quit. And runs down Noble Bird. It is Eagle for Brian Hernandez Jr. to take it. Noble Bird was home second. And then further back, Breaking Lucky and Do You Know Something in 148 and 2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena alongside the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, getting set for that Grade 1 Stephen Foster handicap. Later this evening, post time for the Stephen Foster, 9:39 Eastern, and you just heard the call from Kurt Becker of the Ben Ally Stakes and Eagle getting the victory that afternoon at Keeneland. That was back on April 16th. He came back, finished second behind Majestic Harbor in the Grade 2 Ally Sheba at Churchill Downs on May 6th. They will get a rematch later tonight in that Stephen Foster. And let me tell you something, Eagle has been ultra consistent for trainer Neil Howard, who joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Neil, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Good. You know, I talk about this horse's consistency, Neil. Here's a horse that's been first, second, or third in 12 of his 14 lifetime starts. What more could he ask for?
No, not much. You're right. He's been very consistent. That's a very, very, very important quality, especially when you're running in these kind of races.
Look back on his last couple of starts, that win in the Ben Ally and then that runner-up finish in the Ally Sheba. Look back on those two.
I thought the Ben Ally was probably the best race of his career so far. Running down a really, really a grade one winner in Noble Bird. And I thought his race in the Ally Sheba was very good, again, against and getting beat to a very good horse in Majestic Harbor, who's actually gotten better with age almost, you know, and Paul McGee has done just an unbelievable job with him. I don't think things set up great for him in the Ally Sheba, but nonetheless, the winner was very, very strong that day. But I thought his last couple of races were very, very good. But Ben Ally was a really, like, so far, I think, a top effort for him, which is probably the kind of effort he's going to need, you know, in this race.
He showed a lot of promise as a three-year-old, and then you had to put him away. Ever since he's been back, he's just been a machine.
He has been. The time, I know we say this sometimes, it's cliche, you know, he came up with a little bit of a minor problem, so we gave him the time, but he had a lot of growing up to do, so it was kind of a blessing in disguise, for lack of a better way of putting it. But it really helped him. He came back really, really good mentally more than anything. He really grew up quite a bit in a short period of time, so I think that really made the difference, because once we got started back with him, he was so much more focused, so much more professional, and that really helped him.
Jockey Brian Hernandez Jr., Neil, has been his regular partner for much of his career, almost the entire career. Why is Brian such a good fit, especially with a horse like Eagle?
But I think Brian he's got that same quality that I was just alluding to. You know, Brian is one of those steady, consistent riders. He's got a great riding style, and he's very athletic, Brian. But he's a real student of the game. He really, the minute he comes to the paddock, he already has a game plan. But ready to adjust relative to what we talk about. Brian Brian and I have collaborated on more than a few horses and in the mornings, and that always helps your cause in the afternoon too. So, the relationship, the trainer jockey relationship and owner relationship obviously is where it all starts. You win together, you lose together, that kind of thing.
Well, it's so important to have that trust. You know, when the rider trusts a trainer and vice versa, it just makes all the difference in the world. It makes everybody's job easier.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
Talking with trainer Neil Howard here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Neil, Eagle is not your only contender in a stakes race Saturday night at Churchill Downs. You also have, in the Fleur-de-Lis, Chocolate, who has also found herself in pretty good form as of late. She won the Grade 3 Allaire DuPont Distaff at Pimlico last time out, and that was another really strong effort from this filly. Tell me about that race.
Yeah, well, she's almost like a female version of Eagle in from a consistency standpoint. This is a lovely mare, and we felt like from her first race this season as a four-year-old, we had a plan, which it's always easy to say it. It doesn't always happen, but we got started the latter part of the Fag Rounds meet, and she's, you know, each race was good. She's a big filly, and it took her just a race or two to get really in stride. And we thought it all came together in the race at Pimlico a few weeks ago, and I thought it was a really, really good effort again, and holding off a really, really good filly in Theogony, who obviously was very impressive in New York the other day. And, you know, this is a nice, a beautiful mare, honest, great demeanor. She's a really, really a very nice filly, and she acts like a nice filly, too.
We had Steve Asmussen on a few minutes before you came on the air, and he was talking about the race, Untappable, obviously going to be the heavy favorite. But the horse that he mentioned was Chocolate, and he said he was a sheets guy. She's coming off paired sevens, and his filly has paired eights. So maybe you got a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can echo what he's saying about Untappable. Look, she speaks for herself. But again, these kind of races are really competitive. Untappable is a deserving favorite. She's a fantastic mare. I mean, she's a champion, and really not much more that you can say.
It's interesting, Neil, because Untappable is a perfect 3-for-3 at Churchill Downs. Ah Chocolate has had 3 starts. She has 2 wins and a second, so they both love the surface. Does it take a certain type of horse with a certain type of action to handle that particular surface at Churchill?
You know, I don't know so much about that, but I don't know if this makes any sense. But, you know, it's nice to know that they have not exhibited any dislike for the track, if that makes any sense. But
yeah.
It always helps to know your horses have run well over the track. Both of these fillies have. But you know, one thing about Churchill has always, you know, been highly regarded as a fair, unbiased, safe racetrack. I'm sure there's been occasions, but, I think you'd have to look far and wide to find somebody that would say, you needed this over the track, you needed that over the track. Most horses are pretty much in a comfort zone over this surface.
Well, you mentioned the size and the looks of Ah Chocolate. I had the privilege of standing there with you one morning at Pimlico as you were giving her a bath, and she is simply breathtaking. Just a gorgeous filly, really big for a candy ride, and much like her counterpart, Eagle, who goes in the Stephen Foster, he's also a son of Candy Ride. I guess he's more robust as well, isn't he? Is he kind of like Ah Chocolate?
Yeah, well, he's a little bit, he's a smaller colt, but stands over good ground. You know, he's a sturdy colt, has a lot of constitution, but he's not real tall. But Ah Chocolate is very leggy, and you know, she could be playing in the women's the women's NBA, you know, that kind of thing. And she's just a big, long, tall, long, beautiful striding filly, which is where we felt that's why we feel like the mile and an eighth is so important to us with her, because even though she likes to settle in stride and actually is tactical enough for a big filly, doesn't get too far back, but you know, the extra ground is suits her.
Neil Howard with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Neil, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Want to wish you all the best with your runners at Churchill tonight and beyond. And appreciate you taking the time here today, and keep it rolling, my friend.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Neil Howard, like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Don't forget that you can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. we're going to be embracing our passion. We do it every single week here on the program, but when we head to Saratoga, we will get the chance to visit with our good friend Mike Dianzaris of Embrace the Race. He'll be the title sponsor of our coverage of the Fasic Tipton Saratoga sale once again this year, and really looking forward to maybe picking up a little Embrace the Race swag when we're up there. Always love to visit the store.
Oh, the store's great and beautiful merchandise. They just have some of the best quality stuff. And I'm not saying that because they're a sponsor. You know, anytime we give somebody something from Embrace the Race, they just go, wow, that's really nice. That's the best hat I ever had. That's the prettiest jacket. Oh, I love that shirt. You know, whatever it is, the neckties. Forget about the neckties.
Yeah. Yeah.
We look pretty good in our rose-colored neckties for the Belmont
Stakes. We tweeted that out. Myself, and Kurt Becker all had the same colored tie from Embrace the Race. And yeah, it turned out okay.
Yeah, it was a good picture.
I stood between, right in the middle of you two.
Right.
I looked great.
Yeah. Well, you, you certainly looked the thinnest of the three of us.
It was a very flattering picture for the Baron.
Yeah. You picked a good crowd. As we were discussing, keep yourself in the best company you can find, right?
Speaking of Twitter, don't forget you can follow us on social media, at HRRN on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, as we take you all the way down the road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships in November. Of course, we'll be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup as well. We'll get to a break. We'll come back with more and get you set for the second half of the program on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile, winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of 3 Kentucky Derby colts from his first 2 crops, including
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana Bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of 2-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Frosted has gone on by and he has exploded. He is absolutely blowing his competition away.
Frosted annihilated his competition in the Grade 1 Met Mile last Saturday at Belmont Park. His 14 and a quarter length win resulted in a new stakes record, and his 123 buyer speed figure is the highest since 2007, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. A multiple Grade 1 winning son of champion sire Tappet, Frosted has earned more than $3.1 million and is a graded stakes winner in both the United States and Dubai. Frosted will stand at Darley in Lexington, Kentucky upon the conclusion of his racing career. Learn more about all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Coming to the top of the lane, obviously still the leader. Taken on now by Silver Max. Czar Approval on the outside, then No Jet Lag. Wise Dan in the gold on the grandstand side. Let's see. Wise Dan's fully ridden now. He's trying to pick it up. They come for home. Czar Approval strikes the front. Wise Dan on the outside. Silentio, the long shot, running a big one. But Wise Dan, Wise Dan, Silentio down at the rail. Wise Dan, Czar Approval, Silentio. Wise Dan has called on all his class. And Wise Dan has won it. Czar Approval was second, and Silentio finished third in Silver Max.
Trevor Denman with a call of the 2013 Breeders' Cup Mile. Wise Dan, multiple Horse of the Year and Eclipse Champion, getting the victory that afternoon. Later tonight, as part of our Stephen Foster coverage here on the network, you're going to hear the Wise Dan Stakes. Now, that is sandwiched in between the Fleur-de-Lis and the Stephen Foster. It will go off as race number 7, a race renamed in Wise Dan's honor. It was previously known as the Firecracker. You're going to hear that race in a very special feature we put together on Horse of the Year Wise Dan. You won't want to miss it. All that coverage coming up tonight, 8 to 10 Eastern time here on the network, 8 to 10 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net and locally on 93.9 The Ville in Louisville. So make sure you join us for all of that coverage later tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. 2016 marks the 60th anniversary of thoroughbred racing at Woodbine, and new this year, already in full swing, is the Tapeta Surface, providing a consistent and safe track for handicappers, horses, and horsemen. The highlight of the meet is the 157th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of thoroughbred racing, and the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. The event scheduled for July 3rd, and a race you're going to hear right here with us on the network for the very first time. We'll be broadcasting that Queen's Plate on July 3rd, so mark your calendar. On the wagering side, Woodbine has introduced the new $1, 15% low takeout rolling doubles wager. Say that five times fast. Pretty cool bet, though. $1, 15% low takeout on rolling doubles, and they'll be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. For more information, you can visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. You'll probably get more information at WoodbineRacetrack.com than listening to me read that spot.
I guarantee it.
Yeah. If you're not twisted around right now and you have no clue what would, after listening to me, then.
Well, yeah. Let's sum it up. We're going to Woodbine.
Yes,
we're going to do the Queen's Plate.
Yes.
You can bet 20 cent pick fours. That's all you need to know, right?
The pontiff is ruling.
What more do you need to know? So, yeah. It's going to be fun.
So we can
really
do a 20-cent pick four.
Right.
But we can play it 10 times.
Well, you can do that, yes.
So we can crush it like a McGee.
Absolutely, yes. If you want. Or you can just play more combinations.
Speaking of crushing it like a McGee, Paul McGee, the brother of Daily Racing Forum's Marty McGee, is sending out Majestic Harbor in tonight's Stephen Foster. 8-year-old senior member of that group. He's a grade one winner. You remember he won, seems like forever ago, the Gold Cup at Santa Anita a couple of years back. And now here he is back on track and running as good as ever.
Very cool old horse, and Paul's done a great job with him. You heard Neil Howard talk about him. Top of his game, really.
Yeah.
He's a major contender tonight, no question. So we'll have to see how he goes, and it's always fun, you know. I like to say old guys rule.
If he wins, you could say that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure you will.
And I will. I will.
Well, don't forget.
Us old guys have to stick together.
You can say whatever you want. If you bet him and he wins, that's even better.
Not on Howie's show, I can't.
Well, to a degree. to a degree. You know.
Oh, speaking of which,
don't forget.
I got to tell you this.
Yeah, what's up?
I was watching the races from Ascot on I think it was Thursday, and the girl said that fillies should have a lady's face and the rear end of a cook.
What does that mean?
Well, that's Wayne Lucas's thing, the right. Face of an angel, right? It's very similar.
The derriere of a washerwoman.
Yes.
Right.
And walk like a hooker.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was Wayne Lucas.
What does a cook's?
I have no idea. I guess you know you never trust a skinny cook, right? They say you never trust a skinny chef, right?
So. All right. Busy second half of the program coming up next, right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are in our Lexington studios looking back on last Saturday's Belmont Stakes. We spent some time doing that in the first half of the program. Had a nice visit with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen and with trainer Neil Howard. If you missed any portion of those interviews in the first half of the show, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of this program and all of our shows available for you to listen to at your leisure, all at horseracingradio.net. In terms of what's ahead in the second half of the show, well, momentarily, we're going to be joined by Tony Ricci, who is the proprietor of Tony's of Lexington, which, as I've told you for months on this program now, is by far the greatest steakhouse that you're going to find anywhere here in Kentucky, and quite frankly, one of the best steakhouses by far that I have been to. We'll talk to Tony coming up in just a little bit. Jerry Hollendorfer, the Hall of Famer, who sends out Songbird later today at Santa Anita, he will join us at 9:25 Eastern Time, and then at the end of the program, we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup and start looking at some of the European contenders, but we'll look at a brilliant performance by the mare Teppan at Royal Ascot this past week, and we'll hear from trainer Mark Cassie and from jockey Julian Leperu. She was brilliant.
No, oh, it was a fantastic race, and what a great way to get Ascot started if you were an American.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really beautiful, and I've seen every race run at Ascot this week and really enjoyed it.
A quick reminder that our coverage of the Stephen Foster Handicap at Churchill Downs begins tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Don't forget, you can play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back every time we're on the air with a live race broadcast, and you can do that on tonight's Stephen Foster. Here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You're going to make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in the Stephen Foster. That's a $14 total wager. If your horse finishes worse than third, you're going to lose your $14. But it doesn't matter, because Twin Spires will refund the entire $14 right back into your account. So it is a no-risk $14 bet on tonight's Stephen Foster. Check it out right now, twinspires.com/HRRN. Jude, you and I have had the chance to visit Tony's, which is situated right in downtown Lexington, several times since they opened just over a year ago, and each and every time the meal has been so consistent, so good, the service off the charts, one of my favorite places by far.
Oh yeah, it's outstanding and great crowd, beautiful atmosphere. The food is delicious. Love the steak tartare, by the way. And
I'm all about the Sir Barton.
Oh well, you know that's you. You're a steak.
I'm
man.
A steak guy. You can't go wrong.
I like my steak raw.
So many people listening to this program all over the world in 163 countries are going to be making their way to Lexington at some point for some type of horse business, and when you do, this is where you need to go. And we're joined now by Tony Ricci, who is the man who created Tony's for all of you. He joins us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tony, welcome, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jude. How are you?
Good.
Doing well. Let's get the hard question out of the way first. How'd you come up with the name?
It took a lot. It really took a lot. A lot of time-consuming energy to come up with that name. So, actually, to be honest with you, when I opened the restaurant in Cincinnati, I used it basically just like a marketing tool, hoping that people would recognize my name from my previous employer and come out and see me, and it worked. So I stuck with it.
Mrs. Bullitt, Tom Bullitt's wife, she had a conversation with me at Keeneland about naming the bourbon Bullitt Bourbon and how much pressure that puts on the family. Do you ever feel like it's a lot of pressure on you?
No, not really. You know, whether I work for myself or whether I work for someone else, I always treat it any place like it was my own. And that's the kind of work ethic that I try to instill in my employees. You know, if you treat something like your own, you're always going to give it your best. You're always going to look out for your coworkers. You're always going to look out for somebody who may not be having such a good a time and turn that situation around. But most important, you become very, very consistent by taking ownership of what.
All right, I think we may have lost Tony there for a minute. We'll try to reconnect with Tony
Ricci.
There he is. No, we got you. We just lost you for a quick second. No, go right ahead. You mentioned being very consistent.
No pressure, yeah. I just feel that any place that I've worked, I have always given my all, and I've always treated any place like it was my own. So that's the same kind of things that I tried to instill in my staff. So. Yeah.
Tony, I may have told you this story before, but my dad, for many, many years in Massachusetts, owned a convenience store. And the one thing that always stood out to me is every person that walked through that door became family. And when I walked into Tony's for the first time, I'll never forget it, I was introduced to you. I was with a good friend of mine, Jake Ballas. He introduced me to you, and right away, I got that same feeling. And every time we've come back, and I think everybody would tell you the same thing, every time we've come back since, it's been the same feeling, and you make it a point to go visit with every single person that comes into your restaurant, say hello, spend some time talking with them. To me, that's worth its weight in gold.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's what we strive for. And the thing is, your dad and I have something in common because I got my start in a convenience store. It was owned by my father's best friend, and I was the stock boy. I would go in at 8 o'clock at night and stock everything up for him. Obviously, in the 70s, it was a different time than today. But, that's how I got my start. And he was the same way. And so were my parents. And so was growing up in this country, coming from Italy. I really didn't, you know, I had to get to know a lot of people. So every time I brought somebody over, you know, the dinner table was wide open because of, you know, my mother. That's the way we did things. So I basically grew up in hospitality. So it's very easy for us to do that.
Your food speaks for itself, but your staff is just unbelievable. I've been in the restaurant business. I've, been to countless restaurants, as my girth will attend. And, I've never had a waiter send me a thank you note. And that happened at your restaurant. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And that's just part of the hospitality. And, you know, no one can do it on their own. No one. You have to have a supporting cast. You know, it's just like a Broadway show. You know, it's not just the main character, but it's got to be the supporting cast. It's got to be the band. It's it's got to be the stage hands. Everything's got to come together in the restaurant. And we do that, and we do that on a very, very consistent basis. But I don't want to, you know, Lexington, I want to say one thing, though. Lexington made it very easy for us. They embraced us with open arms. They came to us, that they flooded our doors, and, you know, we were cautious at the beginning of how many people we were going to serve. They did give us a little bit of time in order to iron out some of the wrinkles. But I am so humbled by the hospitality that we received from the city of Lexington and the Lexingtonians. It's been an amazing, amazing 16 months for us.
Tony, we mentioned the store. You mentioned the restaurant in Cincinnati, which is the original Tony's. The one in Lexington is the only other one that you have. Why Lexington? Why was this a good fit?
I was actually approached. One of my investors in Cincinnati, who happens to be the CFO of J.R. Anderson, who is the leasing agent for the Webb Brothers there at the square, he was in the restaurant one night, and he basically asked me, he goes, "Tony, how would you like to do another restaurant?" I go, "Man, I'd love to. Where do you have it in mind?" I thought he was talking about downtown Cincinnati. Then he goes, "Downtown Lexington." I go, "Where?" And he goes, "Right across Rupp Arena." I go, "Sign me up. I don't even want to look at it." I go, "Sign me up." I was there. And then when I looked at the space and saw that staircase, I go, "All right, let's do it. Let's get the deal together." So I actually signed the lease before any of the plans were even made. That's how comfortable I felt going down to Lexington, knowing that my food and my service was going to be a hit.
And now you got Coach Cal in there almost every night. I've never been in there. Coach Cal doesn't show up.
Well, yeah, I tell everybody, you've had two Italian coaches. Should anything, God forbid, happen to Coach Cal, I will be more than happy to step in. So, no, it's been great. It's been a great, it's just been a great 16 months. Very blessed, very privileged to be down there.
Talking with Tony Ricci, Tony's of Lexington is your home for by far the best dining experience that you're going to find anywhere here in central Kentucky. Of course, if you're in Cincinnati, you can also visit Tony's in Cincinnati. Tony, you mentioned you're from Italy. Why steak? Yes. Why not an Italian place?
Well, that's how I grew up. I was working for a competitor of mine now, and we went our separate ways in 2008. But for 23 years, that not only was my interest in one restaurant, but I also opened this other restaurant, I basically became known as the face and the voice of the restaurant that I worked at before. And I said, you know what? This is what I know best right now. This is what I know I can do. So it's my first restaurant. Let me do what I'm comfortable with. And besides, in this country, okay, in America, when people are celebrating life, whether it's birthdays, anniversaries, a big deal, a big win, you know, Triple Crown, you know, Bedford was in there all of last spring and fall. With American Pharoah, when they're celebrating something in this country, we say, "Let's go out for steak." And so that's why.
Well, it's been a big hit, and I can tell you, when I talk about it, and I talk about it in glowing terms as I do, it's not just lip service. It's been a tremendous relationship, great experience, and we can't thank you enough for all of your support of what we do here on the network, and really look forward to our next visit to Tony's.
Thank you, Mike. I certainly appreciate it. Look forward to it. Always let me know when you're in there, because having two restaurants, sometimes it's difficult for me to be in both places at the same time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hey, let me ask you one question. If I come to the Cincinnati one after, say, a Steeler-Bengal game, is it okay to wear all my black and gold in there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell Dad all the time, you know, we're Italians. I mean, he moved to Cincinnati, and in 1969, 1970, I mean, there were mostly second and third generation Italians who couldn't speak Italian. There were very few of us that you encounter one hand. I tell Dad all the time, "Dad, he could have moved to Pittsburgh. He could have moved to Cleveland, for crying out loud. At least they had some Italian ethnicity there, you know." But Cincinnati's been great to me, you know.
Well, Tony, we appreciate it, my friend, and all the best. Thanks for the time here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And people can embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. We'll get that to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Love you guys. Thank you. Right. Let me know whenever I can do anything for you.
We will.
Appreciate it.
Tony Ricci here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And yeah, let me tell you, I know I talk about it, and I know that, you know, they're a supporter of the show and all that stuff, but I went to them. I asked them if I could talk about them on the radio, because I did the same thing with Jimmy John's, did the same thing with the Lexus store of Lexington, right? I went to them and I said, hey, let me talk about you on my program because I believe in it. And I feel like it's that good of a product.
Yeah, well, that's the key. I mean, I think when you believe in something, it's easy to sell it.
Yep.
And it is a great experience there. The staff is fantastic, beautiful bar. You know, it's just a really nice place to go and hang out if you want to, you know, take some people out or celebrate. You know, as Tony mentioned, to celebrate a victory, celebrate a birthday or Father's Day or whatever. I mean, it's just a great place to go and hang out, and people love it. You can tell by the smiles on the faces when you're in there.
All right, it is time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. A million title defense on the line for Pizza Man. Coming off a four-month layoff, Midwest Thoroughbreds the Pizza Man is back in action. Later today, June 18th, in the $200,000 Wise Dan, a race you're going to hear right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network tonight. Run at a distance of a mile and a 16th on the Matt Wynn Turf Course at Churchill. Last time out, the 7-year-old English Channel Gelding was fifth, beaten 3 3/4 lengths in the February 6th Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap. Trainer Roger Brueggemann blamed the horse's distance for the Gulfstream Turf for his performance. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning, brought to you by BloodHorse.com. For more industry news and headlines, head on over to BloodHorse.com. All right, let me read that again. Trainer Roger Brueggemann blamed the horse's distaste for the Gulfstream Turf for his performance. That's what I get for not putting my readers on. Right? I refuse to put them on, by the way.
Roger Brueggemann.
Yeah, he's the trainer.
Okay.
I got Brueggemann right.
Yeah.
And it was blamed for the horse's distaste, not distance. Distaste for Gulfstreams.
Distaste.
Yeah. I wanted to blame it on Blood Horse. I thought that
he obviously didn't go to Scalini.
I was just a moron and read it wrong. Yeah.
If he had distaste, he didn't go to Scalini.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
So that's cool. The Pizza Man back in action tonight.
See, where you went off track is when you inserted an editorial comment into the Blood Horse news
correct.
Update.
See why I dropped that in?
Yeah. Yeah, you dropped that in, but then you dropped the ball.
Fumbled on the goal line. Brutal. All right. Okay. Jerry Hollendorfer.
Yes.
You heard of him?
I have.
Hall
he's
of Famer.
In the Hall of Fame, yes.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good one going to the post at Santa Anita later today.
Yeah, she can run a little bit.
She's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He also has Budokan in the barn.
Yeah, well, of course. No. Not to be mentioned in his same vein as Songbird, but he's just starting out.
Yeah. Now, Budokan, for those tuning in that have no clue what I'm talking about with this horse, he's a 2-year-old.
They already have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm not sure I have any clue what I'm talking about this morning. Okay. So here's Budokan. He is owned by our good friend Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing Stable. We have partnered with them through the Horse Racing Radio Network to make this the HRN horse. Right?
Yes.
So people can follow along with Budokan throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to ask Jerry about Budokan and how the big horse is doing.
Okay. I think you should open with that. That'll surprise him.
Right.
So, Jerry, how's Budokan doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Who's that other filly you're running? Don't you have another filly entered today, too?
Yeah.
What's her name? Yeah.
Songbird.
She's pretty good. I can't wait to see her back in action.
I'm glad she's back.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's the real deal.
She looks great training, too.
Think about some of those West Coast horses that we're going to see, right? And with the Breeders' Cup being at California, mm-hmm. in California this year at Santa Anita, Beholder, Songbird, California Chrome, loaded.
Just to name a few. Are we going out to do the Breeders' Cup preview weekend?
Yes.
We are.
Okay. At Santa Anita.
Good.
Yes.
Because I have fans clamoring for my triumphant rival.
There. Don't you look at the schedule?
I do. But I never know
I
if I'm going.
Schedule. I
sometimes I'm going,
schedule.
Sometimes I'm
website.
Not. I don't know if I'm going. I guess I was specifically speaking about me.
You have been with me on every trip this entire year. We even spent 9 weeks together in Florida and then went to Barbados together.
That's right.
It was beautiful.
And now we're going to Canada together.
And now we're going to Canada.
They're beginning to talk.
Who knows? Maybe a trip to France later this year, too. Who knows?
And Ascot next year, possibly.
Maybe. Who knows?
You never know.
As HRN expands internationally.
Yes.
Well, don't forget, you can see a complete broadcast schedule on our website. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. Check out podcasts of all of our programs, including Jock Talk, Trainer Talk, the BristNet.com call-in show, and our Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview. And then you can tune into Express Bet Radio every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here on the network, 3 to 6 Eastern Time with Anthony Stabile. That, of course, on Sirius 220 and XM 206, and everything streamed live on our website, horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We're back to visit with Jerry Hollendorfer next on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and grade one winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farm presents Algorithms. The son of Bernardini was undefeated, including a dominant 5-length victory over champion Hansen in the Holy Bull. Full or half brother to 4 graded stakes winners, Algorithms has the pedigree, the speed, and the class to become the next star in this sensational sire line. His first crop 2-year-olds have posted lightning fast breeze times and sales up to $180,000. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Racing fans, the moment has arrived. Idle since winning the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks on April 9th. Last year's champion 2-year-old filly, the brilliant undefeated Songbird, is scheduled to make her 8th career start in today's Grade 2 $200,000 Summertime Oaks. Trained by Jerry Hollendorfer and ridden by Mike Smith, Songbird is a perfect 4-for-4 at the Great Race Place. First post time today is at 1:30 p.m. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy. Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Songbird comes off the far turn with the advantage by 4 lengths. Mike Smith has not asked her for a thing. Meanwhile, John Velasquez getting after Rachel Valentina, begging her to wake up and respond. Nickname is in third, and Songbird is just rolling past the 8th pole. Has the lead by 6.
Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. Rachel's Valentina was home second. Dothraki Queen made a late run to third, and then Nickname was fourth, 1 minute, 42 and 3/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year at Keeneland. Songbird remaining undefeated that afternoon. She, of course, was voted Eclipse Champion two-year-old filly off of that effort. She continues unbeaten, and she returns later this afternoon in the Grade 2 Summertime Oaks at the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California. Jerry Hollendorfer is her Hall of Fame trainer, and he joins us now here on HRRN. Jerry, thanks for the time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Jerry, we're going to spend plenty of time talking about Songbird here over the next few minutes, but I want to start with another horse that's in your stable. And our good friend Jeff Bloom in Bloom Racing has a horse by the name of Budokan, who we have partnered with here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He's kind of the HRRN horse. So no pressure, my friend. You have the whole HRN nation cheering for you. What can you tell me about Budokan?
Well, you know, he's a real big horse, and but he's been training fairly forwardly. You know, we've had to back up with him a little bit on some little tiny issues, but nothing major. And so I'd say that he's making good progress, and he should be ready to get in the gate at Del Mar.
You know, you've done such good work with horses like your young horses, like, say, Songbird, who, of course, remains undefeated, but you have so much success with your young horses. What's the Jerry Hollendorfer philosophy to getting a horse ready and bringing them up to their first start successfully?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the guys, including myself, you know, they try to keep the horses within themselves, and so you don't, the younger horses, so you don't come up with shins or whatever, but then no matter how careful you are, you're still going to have problems.
Jerry Hollendorfer with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, segue into Songbird now, Jerry, because she's been so, so good. What makes her so special?
That's a hard question to answer, and you never know, but, I mean, she just has the attitude, she has the size and the speed, and she's just plain good, you know? So it makes it easier for a trainer if he has a good horse to train.
She has such devastating early speed, yet she can really kick it in at the end. You have to feel like super confident every time you run her because she's able to outrun everybody.
Well, you know, there is the confidence in that filly in the barn, and myself, I have confidence, a lot of confidence also. But, you know, whenever you're running in any race, and especially the big ones, I think there's a little bit of anticipation there, and you're always trying to figure out what's going to happen. I'm glad to have Mike Smith on this filly, and he can react to any kind of situation that comes up.
I'm glad you mentioned Mike Smith, Jerry, because earlier in the program we visited with Neil Howard, who is going to send out Eagle in the Stephen Foster tonight. He talked about his relationship with jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. and how important it was to have that chemistry between the jockey and the trainer. How about for you? Is it important to have that chemistry with Mike?
Yeah, it is, you know, and I'll give you another example. You know, I had a good chemistry with Russell Bays and Total confidence in him, and you know, when I leg Mike up on Songbird, I have total confidence that he's going to do a great job.
Russell, of course, just announcing his retirement somewhat unexpectedly this past week to a lot of people. How'd you react when you got that news? Were you surprised?
You know, I was a little bit surprised. You know, Russell had always told me that he was going to ride until he thought he wasn't doing a good job anymore, but I mean, he still is doing a good job, and you know, he just, I think it was kind of a spur of the moment thing where he just decided that, you know, he won the meet there at Golden Gate, and he thought that would be a good time to finally retire.
You know, other than the fact they're in the Hall of Fame, Jerry, what sets riders like Russell Bayes and Mike Smith apart from the rest of the pack?
Well, that's another hard question to answer. You know, first of all, you know, they have to have the talent to accomplish what they've accomplished. And then, you know, there's the determination. Russell Bayes determined to ride down the lane, what kind of on. And then you get a guy like Mike, who's ridden for a long time, but yet is probably one of the fittest riders in horse racing. He works out all the time and runs and does a lot of different things. So, you know, I think the determination and the ability and all those things combined, and you get a great race rider.
Let's talk about Songbird's training for a minute. A lot of video and stuff on social media. She looks every bit as fantastic now as she did before she had her break. Do you feel that way?
I feel that way, and you know, I tried a couple of different things with her. I put her behind horses last week that were working 5/8, and then she came in between them, coming into the lane and just. Went off by herself, and you know she totally was rateable behind those horses and everything. And she got a lot of dirt kicked on her to make sure that, you know, if it turns out that she has to be off the pace, that she could do that. So we found out that she not only can she do that, but she can do it very well.
It seems like for much of her career, Jerry, you've been blessed because she really hasn't had a straw in her path until she was getting ready for the Kentucky Oaks. And after her powerhouse win in the Santa Anita Oaks, she spikes a fever. A bit disappointing, I can imagine.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you have to be able to take those things if you're going to be in our great game. So, you know, there's a lot of high points and then some things go wrong. The blessing out of the whole thing was that, you know, she was carrying a fever for a while, a little bit longer than we wanted. And so we gave her plenty of time. And, you know, I wanted to make sure her blood count and everything was perfect before we.
We'll get back with Jerry here in just a moment there. I think he just dropped out on us there. We'll get back to Jerry here momentarily, get him back on the line, and we'll continue that interview talking about Songbird. Jude, he was just talking about, you know, maybe a bit of disappointment, but you have to deal with it in this sport. As they say, you have to have your big boy pants on if you're going to play in thoroughbred racing. And then he wanted to make sure everything was okay by her. And that is a theme we've heard echoed from so many horsemen in this game that, you know what, you got to make sure the horse is okay first, then we can worry about the other goals.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, health is the number one factor, and if your horse isn't right, there's no sense in running him. So most top trainers understand this and handle it accordingly.
Jerry back with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jerry, we were just talking about some of your comments and how, you know, after a bit of a disappointment like that, you miss the Kentucky Oaks, you get over it, you deal with it, and then you make sure that the horse is okay and you do what's right by the horse. We've heard that from so many horsemen, and it sounds like you're falling right in line.
Well, I hope so. We strive to learn every day in my barn, and she had accomplished so much already that, you know, we felt like we could be pretty conservative with her and then still come back and do a lot here at the end of the year. There are so many races for three-year-old fillies, so we think we'll be okay. And, you know, we didn't get to make the Oaks, and I really wanted to win that for Rick Porter, but it just didn't work out, and he took it well, and I took it well, too, as well as I could.
Yeah, Rick Porter, owner of Fox Hill Farms, has had that up-and-down history with the Kentucky Oaks, and, you know, here's a guy that's had so many great horses in his career. Tell me about that relationship with Rick.
Well, I don't know. You know, I've gotten to know him pretty well here over the time that I've worked for him. You know, most of the top guys, the top owners, that they can be at least a little difficult. But I haven't run into that with Rick Porter. I've gotten along with him very well. He's really got a lot of knowledge about the game. And then if something does go wrong, he wants the very best people that he knows to try to figure out what the problem is and try to take care of it 100%. So, you know, I like working with him, and I like working with the guys that know a lot and demand a lot from you. They don't really want to hear any stories about what's going on. They just want the facts.
Well, it's so nice to have a Philly of that caliber and an owner that understands the game. And no matter what happens, even when you have to give her a break, I mean, you can't worry about her because she's so outstanding.
Yeah, and Jerry's saying that, of course, owners like Rick Porter and top owners just want to hear the facts. Well, the facts are this. Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer has trained 7,108 winners in his career. His runners have earned more than $173 million in purses, and he's looking to add to that total with Songbird later this afternoon at Santa Anita.
Yeah, and where did he go?
Yeah, and the other fact is that he hung up on us again. I don't, hey, when Jerry's done, he's done. He's done. That's it. I'm out.
I'm through with these bozos.
We'll try to get him back one more time for you here on HRN, and we'll go ahead and continue and finish up that interview with Jerry. But, boy, what a beautiful Philly Songbird is. And, you know, Rick Porter, he's been blessed with so many outstanding horses in his career, and here's another one. She falls right into line.
Yeah, she's just amazing. And what an interesting thing to hear that she's learned how to rate, or that I guess it's the first time they ever asked her to rate, and she came through with flying colors. Imagine taking her back and letting her run the last quarter in 23 flat.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just unreal. And you can imagine when he gives a leg up to Mike Smith now, he just says, hey, go get him.
Yeah.
Right? Good luck.
Whatevs.
Good luck. All right, Jerry back with us. Jerry, appreciate the time. Sorry about all the phone issues here, but we did want to bring you back just to wish you all the best with Songbird later today and with Budokan and all the other horses you have in your stable. Go get it done.
All right, we'll be trying hard, so hope we have success. Thank you.
All right, good luck. Jerry Hollendorfer here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, yeah, boy, really has it rolling right now, and we'll see if indeed he can pull it off with Songbird.
Yeah, well, be a shocker if he didn't, especially yeah. Now that she can rate.
Yeah. How scary is that?
That's unbelievable.
Can you imagine that showdown? Let's just fast forward to November, and we get to the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and here's three-year-old Songbird. Here's Beholder, who's so brilliant, if she goes in the Distaff and doesn't try the Classic again. Let's say all things being equal, they both get there, they're both in top form.
Yeah,
what a great race that would be.
You add in the other top fillies and mares we have, Stop Charging Rhea, Sheer Drama,
yeah.
Cavorting,
who ran a hole in the wind.
Yeah. I mean, she likes Belmont Park. That's her thing. But, it's the Distaff division is super deep right now.
All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Royal Ascot, and then we'll wrap things up for you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery.
Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Since 1940, the National HPPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HPPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HPPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Here's Majestic Harbor on the outside, putting in a bid for the lead. Departing is right in behind. Top Billing Eagle under pressure. Not today for Noble Bird. Top of the stretch, Majestic Harbor on the outside. And Majestic Affair, these two locked in battle with 3/16 to go. On the outside, Majestic Harbor. On the inside, Majestic Affair. Kepler back into third. Eagle with a steady close. Eagle's got a shot on the outside. Three lengths to make up. It's Majestic Harbor in front by two. Majestic Affair couldn't keep up. Eagle late close. Here's the wire. Majestic Harbor the winner. By 2.5, it's tight for second, Eagle or Majestic Affair. Cat Burglar was fourth.
Churchill Downs announcer Travis Stone with the call of the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill on May 6th. Majestic Harbor getting the better of Eagle that afternoon. They get a rematch later tonight in the Grade 1 Stephen Foster Handicap. Post time 9:39 Eastern. You will hear that race. You will hear the Fleur de Lis and the Grade 2 Wise Dan all with us from 8 to 10 Eastern time, that coverage on Sirius XM, channel 93. So this very same channel you're listening to right now. Also locally in the Louisville market on our friends with the Ville. And you can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. It's going to be a fun night, JT.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Haven't been to Churchill Downs after dark in quite a while.
Yeah,
It's usually not an area you want to go walking around after dark. Necessarily.
Just saying.
Just saying. Hey, 2016 marks the 60th anniversary of thoroughbred racing at Woodbine. And new this year and already in full swing is the Tapeta Surface, providing a consistent and safe track for handicappers, horses, and horsemen. Of course, the highlight of the meet is the 157th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of thoroughbred racing, and the longest continuously run stakes race in North America, the event scheduled for Sunday, July 3rd. On the wagering side, Woodbine has introduced the new $1 15% low takeout on rolling doubles and will be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. For more information, all you have to do is go to woodbineracetrack.com, just as we will be doing in early July.
Yes.
Heading to woodbineracetrack.com.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Royal Ascot in full swing. Wrapping up later today, we've seen some tremendous performances, but maybe none better than Teppan winning the Queen Anne this past Tuesday. How good was she?
Yeah, it's all been downhill since then.
Well, for the American. That's it. Right? Wesley Ward won a race, right?
Oh, Wesley Ward won a race. That's right.
Yep.
Always good.
Yeah.
Always good to win.
He's kind of become the king of Ascot, hasn't he?
Well, not really. I mean, he's like, you know, what is he like? 80 wins behind the all time or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the American trainers that, really. That go over there.
No. For Americans, down. Yes. He would be the American king of Ascot, yes.
All right, well, after Teppan's victory, our good friend Rupert Bell, who does an awful lot with us throughout the year, had a chance to catch up with the winning trainer Mark Cassie and the winning jockey Julian Leperu. Here is that Cassie clip with Rupert Bell right now.
It really didn't dent it. I kind of smiled a little bit. You know, we didn't know what kind of ground this was. But we went out yesterday, Julian, my son Norman, and I, and we walked in up and down, you know, the turf course. The only thing we did was ruin our shoes. But we figured out that, to us, we thought this turf was better than what she won on the Breeders' Cup. You know, you have to remember, they had been running a lot of races at Keeneland, and there had been a lot of rain, so it was pretty chopped up. I mean, this is a beautiful turf course. It was perfect. Well, we'll see. We're going to take her back. Mr. Masterson is wanting and thinking about, he'd like to send her to Woodbine and run her in the Woodbine Mile. And then, of course, we want to aim for the Breeders' Cup. Again, next, you know, this year in California, there's a chance if all well as well at the end of the year, she may even run another year. So we'll see.
Is it just me or did Mark Cassie sound a little hoarse?
Oh, I think he definitely was a little hoarse.
I think he'd been doing some yelling when she was coming down the stretch.
I don't know. I don't know if he was like, there's been some amazing performances by trainers. I think maybe Steve Asmussen kicked it off. I mean, Steve was so excited after winning the Belmont, and rightly so. But, you know, Steve's he's usually a very stoic guy, and he runs a lot of horses, and he's very businesslike. He went nutso, and I loved it. I loved that emotion. You know, when you see that, there was a guy yesterday at Royal Ascot. I wish I could remember the name. I think it was a filly that won a sprint race, but the trainer was going ape down the stretch. He was throwing his arms in the air and jumping up and down, you know, almost like one of those dolls. Remember that, like the wooden ones where you pull the string on him? He looked like that. And then the horse crossed the wire and he totally lost it, and his friends lost it. I mean, that's so great, you know, when people are that emotional about it. And it's what makes our game so much fun. You know, you work so hard and you run so many losers. And even a guy like Steve Asmussen, that's won the second most races in the history of thoroughbred racing in North America, you know, that means he's lost probably the second most amount of races in North America. So, you know, it's like the Brett Favre syndrome, you know, lots of touchdowns, lots of interceptions. So it's a tough racket, and it's great when people are excited. And of course, we know Mark very well, and he's a tremendous friend of the show, and we know that he just loves the game and he loves to win, and he's always very thoughtful about his horses. So I would imagine there was some rooting going on.
I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt. And the way that she dug in gamely to hold off all challengers, when it looked like she had every right to fold up her tent and go home, she didn't. And she just kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And he talked about the ground. And you and I talked about this off air. You said, well, American horses typically don't like the softer ground overseas. He didn't think it was that much softer than what she ran on at Keeneland. And if that's the case, then, you know, that seemed like a perfect fit for her because she dominated at Keeneland. But boy, she just dug in and dug in and dug in. I didn't think she particularly cared for that ground either, watching her run. Did you?
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was her favorite.
Yeah.
Obviously, Keeneland, in any way, shape, or form, is her favorite. I think she freaks at
right.
Keeneland. But she can handle a lot. She's a very, very good filly. She's probably a great filly. I mean, she is a great filly.
Yeah.
And you expect that from her. You know, my brother's filly, Miss Temple City, I don't think she really particularly cared for the ground. She didn't have that explosive kick that she usually has in her races. She's another filly that likes Keeneland. She's run two tremendous races at Keeneland, the QE2 and then the Makers 46 Mile. But it seemed like it was maybe too soft for her. A lot of trainers were concerned about the softness of the turf. Wesley Ward didn't run Acapulco because of the soft ground. I think she's supposed to run today. And then, a couple of Wesley's two-year-olds, they seemed to struggle over it. So it wasn't – I mean, there was a lot of rain, evidently. It was really pretty soft. And there were other trainers that took their horses out. And as I was handicapping some of the races, you would see, like, the horses that ordinarily ran on good ground and that, and then had bad races on the soft, even though their form was excellent, they didn't perform well either. So I think it was a factor. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like to use the turf course condition as an excuse, and they do the same thing here with the dirt, you know, but some horses can handle it and some horses can't. And, we saw that during the Triple Crown, and I think you have to consider it. It's just another factor.
Well, here's what jockey Julian Leperoux had to say with Rupert Bell right after that win by Teppan.
Well, delighted to say the winning jockey with me on a steering job, Julian Leperoux. Julian, many congratulations. First Group 1 winner outside a sprint for America. What a day for you and your horse.
Oh, I can't even describe it. It's just amazing. First ride in Europe, and to come here in Royal Ascot is just amazing, and glad we won it. Yeah.
How worried were you about the rain? I know she has won on rain softened ground in the States, but I mean we've had quite a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, actually, it's one thing I was not really worried. That was the least worry I had. I think she can handle the track. The question was straight away, the up and downs during the straight, and she answered it like she could. The best way is to win it.
And when you were in the final stages of the race, your horse coming to you, but you never moved a muscle on her. You didn't have to do anything. I mean, it just looked ridiculously easy. It did look. Anyway.
It looked like it, yeah, I guess. But, I could feel the one coming inside. I knew it was not coming fast, but I knew it was coming. I'm glad the wire was coming at the time he is. Yeah.
And what does it mean for you? As you say, your first ride in Europe, coming over here, riding at Royal Ascot, and creating a bit of racing history.
It's a dream come true, you know. I've been watching Royal Ascot since I'm a little kid, and I keep watching it even when I moved to the States.
Julian Leperoux with Rupert Bell, and our thanks to Racing UK for that audio and for Rupert as well. But I loved when he asked him about that it looks so easy. Oh, yeah, it probably looked easy.
Rupert, he's a funny bloke, isn't he?
That was great. And Julian just cracked up. Yeah, I'm sure it looked easy. Watching it from the the sidelines anyways.
Yeah, well, you know, you would say maybe kind of an armchair ride. I mean, she didn't win that easily.
I didn't think so either.
I mean, I think she had to run to win.
Well, you heard him say he was glad The Wire was coming,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's the Sean Clancy. Sometimes The Wire hits you just right, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was all – it all worked out very nicely. And that's another thing about Ascot that a lot of people don't talk about much, but the fact that some of the races are on the straight, you know, and that's a straight mile. And the ground is undulating. You go down a dip and up and down. And, you know, so it's a lot for a horse to get used to in a very short period of time. And obviously she trained good. You know, she looked good going into the race, and she's a top class filly. So no reason to think she wouldn't perform well, but the price was pretty good too.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, not too shabby.
Not going to get that over here.
So. We will see another top-class filly going to the post later today. Actually, a five-year-old mare later tonight in the Fleur de Lis, which is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Distaff Division. That race kicks off our coverage at 8 o'clock Eastern Time here on the network, 8 to 10, Sirius XM 93, worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on affiliates around the country. You can visit our website for more information there. JT, you look at the Fleur de Lis, you look at Stephen Foster. We started the program today talking about how, okay, maybe they're not the strongest renewals that we've ever seen, but I think you have some horses that could make an impact in a race like, say, the Breeders' Cup Classic or the Distaff up the road. When you look at Untappable, you look at FNX and Eagle, horses like that that are pretty consistent. I think you could say, all right, these are races that can have an impact in some of those big races up the road.
Well, you know, you have to realize, too, that we're 140 days.
Yeah. 139, actually. I misread that. 139.
139 days away from, yeah, what's
it? I misread
day?
A lot of things. What,
yeah, you're, Baron's not, this early morning stuff is not the Baron's forte.
A little Triple Crown hangover.
Yeah, definitely of that. Boy, am I glad that Triple Crown's over. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's early yet, and these horses can still develop. I mean, horses like Eagle, basically, you know, he's just kind of found his own now. You heard Neil talk about giving him a break and how he came back better. And that's something that I like to look at when I'm handicapping, because a lot of times horses get a little rest and they just come back so much better and sharper. It's really an advertisement for giving your horse a break, even maybe if they don't need it. You know, you hear people say, oh, I don't want to send him to the farm because he may not come back as good. But usually they come back better. It's just like anybody else. You go on vacation, you recharge your batteries, you can't wait to get back to work. You know, it's a good thing to take a little bit of time off. And horses are not that far off of humans genome-wise. So I'm sure they appreciate it.
What do we do with a horse like Are You Kidding Me for Roger Atfield in the Stephen Foster?
Well, you know, I mean, he's a nice horse. I don't think he's a top-class horse. I don't think he's in the same class as FNX. I think that's probably his drawback.
Yeah. And he's made a living earning his income or his – getting his earnings and running his best races on either a synthetic or on turf courses.
Right, so right.
He has to prove he can handle the dirt.
Yeah, he doesn't really fit there. I mean, it wouldn't blow me away if he won, but I don't think he's running in a race that's not suited to what he likes to do best.
What about Braidster? I think he's somewhat interesting.
Braidster is a very, very fast horse.
Yeah, I think he's interesting.
He's got a lot of talent. That race that he ran to Valid, where he ran second to Valid,
yep,
that was an outstanding performance.
That was the Island last year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you know, Valid is such a good horse. I mean, he is his game and as fast as they come. And there's not a lot of pace in this race. Braidster's a horse I could see Joe Bravo getting out there and, you know, slowing it down a little bit. And Braidster can get the distance. He could be very tough in there.
Eddie Keneally, Braidster's trainer, talked about the decision to run in the Stephen Foster. He said it's a short field in a grade one. The horse is doing well, and he likes to be close to the lead. Those, to me, are all very solid reasons to run in this spot, and they add up to a big performance for Baedster because of the thing you just alluded to, where there isn't a lot of pace. He should be in a great position. He has some class. We know he's gutsy if he gets into a dogfight. Yeah, I like him. I think he has an opportunity to pull off a little bit of an upset.
Yeah, I think you know, he's one of two. I mean, I think it's, if you're playing a pick four or whatever, I think those are the two horses you must use.
Old guys rule, no Majestic Harbor on your pick four ticket.
Well, you know, Majestic Harbor, he's another one. I always have a problem with him because I love him. You know, Paul McGee's like family. My family's very close to the McGee family, and I just feel like, I want to root for him all the time, but he's again a cut below. Maybe I don't think he's as good as FNX, and I'm not so sure he's as good as Braidster, but he's a good horse. You know, these are all horses I'd love to own, by the way.
Yeah. Well, even the horse from the inside, right? International Star, who may be a little bit of a long shot later tonight. 14 starts, 6 wins, 3 seconds, $1.17 million in earnings.
Yeah, he's a good horse. He was a great 3-year-old, and he's kind of fallen on hard times. He hasn't moved forward off of his 3-year-old year like some of the other ones have.
And we'll make sure you join us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, for that coverage of the Stephen Foster, of course, the Fleur-de-Lis, and the Wise Dan, all part of that show. Our thanks to trainer Steve Asmussen, trainer Neil Howard, and trainer Jerry Hollendorfer for being here. Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington took the time to tell us about his restaurant as well. And our thanks to Rupert Bell with Racing UK for the audio of Mark Cassie and jockey Julian Leperu. We're back tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, here on the network. Don't forget, check out the podcast on our website. For Lee Delapina, our producer, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Happy Father's Day. Good night, Barbados.